Good morning. I know that everybody is anticipating the chili and soup cook-off, as am I, and I promise you that we will make it to that point. As a church, we've been conditioning you guys for a while now for 1 o'clock releases, so get over it. We're in this for the long haul. I did look at the event as it was advertised, and the flyer said following service. I really don't need that, but everybody give Lindsay a round of applause. She salvaged the day. But it was advertised as following the service. So no matter what happens, we will be dead on time. And since I have the microphone, I'm issuing an executive order that I get served first. As the preacher of the day, I get served first. So tough luck. You're not getting out of here till I get out of here. I'm dumb, I know. But I'm so happy. What am I stepping on? Well, that was nice. I'm so happy that everybody's here today. And as Mike was sharing his word, he didn't know this, but I really felt yesterday as I was preparing that the fire, it's not just Christianese either, that the fire of the Lord was going to be in the place. Holy Spirit knew what was going to be happening today. He knew the songs we were going to sing. He knew where our heart postures was going to be. He knew that he was going to give Mike a word to share today. But I really do believe that the river of the Lord is here, and then that river is on fire, and that river is flowing out through us, through this place, through every one of you, and it's burning up everything that his spirit doesn't want to be a part of you going forward. And so I'm really excited that you're here. I'm really excited that we get to look into this together. And to be honest with you, this message was tough for me, mostly because the way in which which I heard it from the Holy Spirit was more of a correction to Bobby. And I told Pastor Jeff this when I was preparing, that I kind of hate all the time standing up here just ripping my heart open for you guys. But I really feel that what the Lord spoke to me and what the Lord did in and through me is not just an isolated case. I do feel that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in the body, and that this word wasn't just applicable to Bobby Cato, but this is applicable to every one of you also. Because quite frankly, the Lord wants us to just be saturated in his presence. So before we get started, everybody just close your eyes, because the Lord is in this place. Take a deep breath. Fix your mind on him and just open yourself up to the reality that he has a fresh word for you today. He has a fresh word for you today. We're going to examine kind of where we are. As the message title suggests, we're going to cut loose some things that are holding us in place. Some things that are maybe walls that we put up that have allowed us to settle into complacency, kind of settle in where we're at, stop growing, all of those things. So let's pray, and then we'll just get right into it. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for the work that you're never giving up on me and performing in me, Lord. Just pray that right now, Lord, that you would just take my words and let them be your words. Take my actions and let them be your actions. Just possess my mind and possess my body and possess my spirit. Just let everything I do, Lord, be from you, not from Bobby. Just pray, Lord, that this fertile ground that the worship is tilled up, Lord, that this word would go out and it would just penetrate deep into that fertile soil, Lord, that it would go and do what you intended to do, Lord. that Holy Spirit, even before we study your word, Lord, you're moving in your people and you're highlighting things, Lord, that are standing in the way of the fullness of the relationship that Jesus died for. So I surrender myself to you, Lord, my mind, my will, my emotions, my voice, my actions, everything, Lord. I just pray that your fire, Lord, would just burn up everything in me and just flow out of me, flow out of me, flow out of me, Lord. Just love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. All right. I love when confirmation happens. Sent this message over, and this is something that's been weighing on me pretty heavy since early January. But Lana Vosser, you guys have heard me talk about her before. She's a prophetic voice that releases very timely words. And she put this word out on Wednesday, and I was just like, well, holy smokes, I should just read this instead of anything the Lord's given me, because it was like dead on. But the title of the word was Deeper Depths, Deeper Depths, Deeper Depths. And she says in this word these statements, and we're just going to start out with these, because I really believe that they're anointed and they're going to go and do something in your life. She says that there is a call into the hidden place deeper than many have experienced. She says, can you hear the urgency of the hour to consecrate yourself and come deeper? The call to come away is increasing. There's a great call from my heart to lay things down, to come away with me and be with me. And I'm speaking to you to shift and to change. She says, stay low. Keep your head down and remain faithful to what I've called you to. The place that I'm calling you to, above all, is in the place of abiding in me. I'm calling you deeper. Pay attention to what I'm asking you to let go of. Amen. It was a timely word. Go look that up. That was Lana Vosser, February 5th. Deeper depths, deeper depths, deeper depths. There's, if you've read any of her things, there's obviously way more words than that. All right, so this originated back in November of 24. We were at a men's prayer service. Men's prayer at, I guess it's a service, at Pastor Shane's house. And Pastor Jeff came up to me afterwards and essentially told me that we were going to be leading worship for the Men of Faith breakfast at the Dutch House on January 18th. I really didn't feel like there was an option in the conversation. And I guess you put it in the context of when he asked me. So I felt like I was peer pressured into this. But, I said yes, almost reluctantly, because you guys have heard me talk about it before, back in November, October, whenever that did take place. And I was playing guitar, and as Pastor Shane would say, I whisper sing. I was dipping my toes into some things, but I wasn't really doing what the Lord had asked me to do. So we're putting this together, and I kept feeling like the Lord told me to, we were going to do a couple songs, and I felt like one of the songs we were going to do was gratitude. And I fought it for a while before I even approached Pastor Jeff about it. Like I said, we had a couple months heads up about this event. And I fought it, and I fought it because I knew that gratitude was a personal song to Jeff. It meant something to Pastor Jeff. And I wasn't trying to, elicit any sort of an emotional response from us leading worship. So I dug my heels in a little bit, but the Lord just kept telling me that we're going to do gratitude, we're going to do gratitude, we're going to do gratitude. And my mind, honestly, the whole time was just like, well, he must have something that's going to stir up in Jeff through the song Gratitude for the Men of Faith. And I left it at that. We got together the week before practice, and as I said, with my whisper singing, it was awkward because it's really hard for me to lead somebody and tell them what we're going to do and where we're going to go and how we're going to sing and what we're going to do when I'm throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Bridge. Can't hear that over the guitar. But so it was really awkward. It was really clunky. It was really clumsy. And yeah, my heart all the time has been and is to be bold with worship. And you guys have heard me say it before. I'm very comfortable inside of there. And but I'm dipping my toes into what the Lord's calling me to. But what I hadn't realized was that I allowed myself to stop. I didn't fully follow through to what the Lord called me to do. I went to the edge of what Bobby saw as acceptable. And we're in the middle of singing gratitude at the Men of Faith breakfast. And we're singing, I throw up my hands. And we're singing, come on my soul. And by we, I mean Pastor Jeff is singing, throw up my hands and come on my soul. And I'm going ham on the guitar. I'm okay with that part. Play loud enough that I can't hear myself. And Holy Spirit, just look me dead in the face. I said, come on, Bobby. All I've asked for you to do is worship me. Come on, Bobby. All I've asked for you to do is worship me. You know, today was an emotional for me. Aaron Vogt actually texted me before service started and said, how about that, Aubrey playing the keys? And I didn't know that Logan had asked her on Monday or Tuesday, and Aubrey refused to tell us because she knew we'd probably force her to practice or we'd make it weird for her or awkward. But she came to me last night and said, hey, I kind of need some headphones. Logan asked me to bring some headphones. And can you help me with that? But just don't tell Mom. And I was like, that's fine. Like, here's some in-ears you can use. But I come in here, and that's emotional to me, because what nobody knows and what Aubrey may not even know is Bethany had a prophetic vision of Aubrey when she was an infant, of her leading worship and playing the piano up here on stage. And we've been waiting for Aubrey to free herself from the anchor of the shallows, to just step into the deep of what the Lord, it's too early to go into this, to step into the deep of what her calling is. Because the girl has a worship calling on her life. Aubrey, you have a worship calling on your life. She's going to kill me for this. You have a worship calling on your life. And I'm proud of you today for severing that anchor and stepping out into what you know the Lord is calling you to do. Thank you for rejecting the fear of man in your life. And the same echoes true for Scott Baldwin. Scott, many of you probably saw it, or maybe didn't know, but Scott Baldwin was up here playing bass guitar on the stage. And hallelujah, I'm not the oldest person in the youth band. Yes! That's more of the dumb stuff from Bobby. We're going to be reading today out of Ezekiel 47. And while you guys are turning there, the last couple messages here really, really resonated with me. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to those. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ben preached a message that was titled, There is a River. And it's a very, very timely word for abundant life, because that river of life is important. I mean, that river of life sustains everything that there is about us. And apart from that river of life, we are dead. Apart from that river of life, Scripture says, and we'll read it now, is a salty wasteland. It's a swampy wasteland. So you need to hitch yourself to the deep of the river. And then last week, Pastor Shane's message was entering Sabbath rest. And he drew this awesome parallel of the whether you're hooking yourself to the well of the world or the well of what if, as he put it, or if you're anchored in the well of the world or the well of the word. And you just need to go back and listen to these. These are messages that are directly from Yahweh's heart for the body, not just for abundant life. But for the body. Very, very timely words. So go back and listen to those. I really do believe that they're integral for the days ahead. So we're going to be in Ezekiel 47. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion, starting in verse 1. So it says, "Then the shining man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw the water flowing from underneath the temple threshold. It was flowing eastward, for the temple faced west. Water was trickling out from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he took me out by the north gate and led me around the outside of the gate that faces east. And there I saw water flowing out on the right-hand side, south of the gateway. The man holding the measuring line walked east and measured off 1,000 cubits. Then he made me wade across the shallow water, and it was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and told me to wade across the stream again. The water was up to my knees. Measured off another 1,000 cubits and made me wade across the stream yet again, and the water was up to my waist. He measured off another 1,000. It was now a river way over my head, which I was unable to swim across. It was a deep, swollen river, a river no one could cross. The shining man said to me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' Then he brought me back to the riverbank. When I got there, I was astonished to see an enormous number of trees on each side of the river. He said, 'This water flows eastward down to the Jordan Valley into the Dead Sea. As it flows into the stagnant waters, the water becomes fresh water. Wherever the river flows, all living creatures will live and thrive. Schools of fish will be very plentiful, and wherever the river goes, it brings healing. And everything will come alive. Fishermen will crowd its banks and spread their nets from Engedi to Eneglaim. Then they will catch as many species of fish as there are in the great sea. However, its swamps and marshes will not become healed, but they will be left for salt. Along both banks of the river, every kind of fruit tree will flourish, and their leaves will never wither, and abundant fruit will always be on their branches. Each month they will bear a fresh crop of fruit, because this life-giving water comes from inside the sanctuary. And their fruit will be good to eat, and the leaves will bring healing." You know, this is a very, very familiar passage. Obviously, Pastor Ben just preached on it 2 weeks ago also. But Ezekiel's led on this journey of starting out at the sanctuary, and he's seeing the flow of the Lord pouring out of the sanctuary. And then as he ventures east 1,000 cubits, the stream picks up some flow, and it's ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, and then it's in over your head. And he's seeing this prophetic picture of everywhere that this river is flowing, that its roots of the trees along the banks are sucking life out of the river. The fish in the river are thriving. The people that are dependent upon the river, the fishermen that are dependent on the river, are thriving. And they're getting plentiful, bountiful gifts from the river. And I'm not going to harp deeply on the river. I want you to go back to I don't know when that was, January 26th or whatever, and listen to that message. We'll trust that word covers the river. But what I want to do today is I want to encourage us to dive into this river, not just realize the importance of the river, but recognize our part in choosing where we're at in relation to this river, where we're at in relation to the presence of the Lord, and look at the things that might be holding us back, and look at the things that maybe we need to sever, that are impacting our relationship with the Lord, our walk with the Lord, because the river brings forgiveness. The river frees you of the sin of the past. The river brings life. The river brings healing. The river brings joy. The river brings peace. The river gets rid of anxiety. The river is a necessity in your life, and your proximity to the center of that river, the thou wag of that river, the deepest part of the channel, wherever it's flowing, is important. We're going to get there. So, what I really don't want is us just playing around in the shallows. You guys have probably been to a beach before, and quite honestly, I'm afraid to get in the water at the beach because I'm afraid that I may be mistaken for food at the beach. So I probably go to about right there at the beach. But I will tell you that while I'm right here, there's something inside of me that's stirring to go out there. The whole time. You guys ever like felt that? Yeah, that's the spiritual thing. That's a spiritual thing. So there are three things in Ezekiel 47 that stood out. The first I'm not going to talk about is the river of life. Go back and listen to Ben's message. The second thing that really stood out to me was the depth of the river. The further downstream Ezekiel was taken, the further downstream Ezekiel walked, the deeper the presence of the Lord was. Started out an ankle, 10% Christian, 90% leaning on your own understanding. Went to knee deep, we'll call it maybe a 60-40 or 70-30 split, waist deep. You're like half in control, maybe being tossed, but you're kind of sure-footed. And then there's the in over your head. And as you walk with Jesus, he should saturate more and more of you. This is not a claim Jesus is your own bag of goodies where you're just in and out and then you just, oh, once and done type of deal. This is a process. And many of you heard me. That's probably the only advice I ever give anybody if they reach out to me for counseling stuff is just trust the process. It is a process. The third thing that stood out to me was the swamp, the salty swamp. Because this swamp had to have had flow at one point. The swamp had to have had flow for there to be water in it at one point. My mind, being the engineering brain, Jake can correct me if I'm wrong, but that would suggest that the river of life, the river of the Lord, once it gets down out of the mountain where they're talking about the fruit and the plains and stuff and the fish and where it's touching the sea, would suggest that it becomes an alluvial stream. And an alluvial stream changes depending on the flow due to erosion, sediment, transportation, and blah, blah, blah. We won't get into an engineering lesson. But what that suggests is where the swamp is, the river used to be. Let that sink in just a hot second. Where the swamp is, where the salty, dead swamp is, that means the river used to flow right through there. The river used to touch that area. So we're in worship at the Men of Faith breakfast, and Holy Spirit just slaps me in the face with that reality. See, I'd been studying through Ezekiel leading up to that, not knowing that any of this was happening, and we're in the middle of worship, and the Holy Spirit looks at me, as I told you, and said, Bobby, would you just worship me? You're capping me off. And if I dig my heels in that instance and say, Lord, I'm only going this far. This is the line in the sand. Then there will be a time where my ankle deep, waist deep, or knee deep faith results in me being a salty wasteland off to the side of the river. Because I cap the wellspring of that life that's inside of me. And if I cap it, and the flow can come in, but it's not able to come back out, flow can come in, but flow can't come out, then there's no point in the flow coming back in anymore, because what's there will just build up pressure, and I will crumble, I will experience shaking in my life, And there's no sense in it flowing into me anymore if I'm not willing to be poured out anymore. And I will just turn into a bitter, dead, salty, wasted space. Thankfully, Holy Spirit's a little more gentle than that, right? But those are the words I need to hear. And honestly, the whole time, like, we're there, we're playing, and this is in my mind, and honestly, after the fact, these prayers that I've prayed over the years while I'm in the drum cage, comfortable and having fun, recognizing that in that drum box, our music is still going out and ministering to people, but my heart desired for a deeper intimacy in worship. And I didn't understand, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but all I can say is my spirit man knew that there was a deeper place that I needed to get to, that there was a deeper place that Bobby needed to get to, that the Lord was calling me to do something, whatever it was, but I wouldn't allow myself out of there. That was my anchor. And it was just holding me stagnant in the shallows. So Holy Spirit tells me, and I said he's a little more gentle than I am, but get over it. I wrote this down because this was important to me. He says, look at you, Bobby, standing there full of fear. Are you going to trust me, or are you just going to die in the land of familiarity? Come on, Bobby, just worship me. That's all I've asked. And that's when my mind snaps to Ezekiel 47. Because in Ezekiel 47, there are two people types that are represented. There are the rare breed, as I will call them, the Jesus people that hear from the Lord and do what the Lord says. There's not a delay in hear and response. There's not a delay in hearing and acting. These Jesus people, they're swept up in the river. They're not really afraid of what people think. I would suggest that fear is really for them a distant memory at this point, because they've learned that the Lord's not going to fail them. They've learned that if they put all of their trust in the Lord and they lean on Him fully, not using their own understanding as a crutch, and they lean on the Lord fully, that He is going to prove Himself faithful, because they've seen the Lord prove Himself in the land of the living. They've seen Him prove Himself faithful in the land of the living. Jesus is their rock. And then there's Bobby. I'm hard. Dipped my toe in the presence of the Lord. I've waded to a point into His glory. I've waded myself out to a point. But I have this ball and chain anchor behind me that only lets me go so far, and like a leash, it just lets me go to the line in the sand that I've drawn, and that leash just pulls me back, and there's a predetermined path that I will allow myself to go to, and I'm fine if I operate in my paradigm, but the Lord hasn't called me to operate in my paradigm. The Lord's called me to flow wherever the river is going to flow. And because there is restoration in the depth of that channel, the deeps bring authority. The deep carries the power. The deep carries miracles, signs, and wonders. And I was so fine with standing on the edge, fine with being ankle deep in this river, and just being there and being like, Lord, look at me serving you. Look at me praising you. Look at me doing what you're doing. And the Lord's saying, why don't you stop looking at yourself? Ouch. Ouch. But in reality, like I said, this was a tough one for me to hear. This was Lord's judgment coming against Bobby, saying, we're going to fix a couple of things, you know? But I really do believe in my spirit that word is for all of us. So there's some of you, we're somewhere on that spectrum. And I think the Holy Spirit right now is kind of revealing to us around the rooms. Maybe some of you have lost sight of your first love and kind of lost the understanding of why you need Jesus. And I just pray right now for those people that Holy Spirit, as He's coming through here and convicting convicting you and guiding you to surrender and examine your heart, that right now he is going to reinvigorate your passion, your relationship with him. He's going to ignite the flame in your heart again. He's going to fan back to flame that relationship and kind of restore that relationship, restore that passion. Yeah. Probably some others in here who Holy Spirit's showing you right now that maybe there's a barrier, whether it's sin, a sin that's standing in the way. Holy Spirit's good. He will highlight this stuff to us, and he's not in the business of making you feel bad about what you've done. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came into the world to save the world. And Holy Spirit's function inside of each one of us is to be that conduit, to be that river carrier, so that others around us, everyone around us, can experience that love and grace and that forgiveness that's in the river. So if you're here and you have sin that the Holy Spirit's kind of highlighting to you, don't wait. Act on that stuff now. Now is the time to deal with that. I really believe that I saw this, that like a roadblock almost, and you guys maybe ever seen like a big roadblock, Jersey barriers, signs, the whole bit, but it was, and it had a banner on it and said selfishness. But when I looked at it more closely, it was a hologram. You guys have Star Wars geeks, maybe, but you guys have seen Star Wars with the holograms. Like, it's kind of there, but doesn't really have the power of stopping you from anything. So there's some things in your life that are presenting themselves as stopping you from doing things, or stopping you from acting, or stopping you from going any further, a physical barrier, a physical roadblock, or a sin tie that's holding you back. And the Lord wants to deal with all of those today. Or maybe there's others in here that are like I was, and you allow yourself to go so far. But really, you stop short of what the Lord has called you to do. I want to just put it out there that if you're not allowing yourself to function as the Lord called you, you're not necessarily following the convictions of the Lord, and I'm sorry, but that's sin, and that does need to be dealt with. But I mean, I'm full of bad news, but it's perfect, because Jesus is perfect, and he has he's just full of goodness and love and mercy, and he will, as Pastor Ben preached, that river will carry all of those things. Once you're in there and you allow that river to wash over you and you're fully surrendered to that, all of that junk is washed off of you, and that stuff is carried as far as the east is from the west. All right, I only have 6 more pages. So at the pace we're going, 12:45. Sorry. I'm kidding. All right, I do have some homework for you. You guys want to put that homework slide up there, Aaron? The Lord had me reflecting on these questions as we went through it, as I was studying and as I was preparing this message. And I really want you to take the time to go through these questions with the Lord in your private time this week. Sit down, ask Holy Spirit these 3 questions. I do not want you to just blow through them. We're not, this is a lesson for my kids. We're not trying to just do your homework as fast as we can do your homework and get it done just for the sake of getting it done and say we did it. We want lasting impact out of this, right? We want our hearts to change. We want our minds to change. So I want you to sit down and I want you to ask Holy Spirit, what does deeper look like for me? And deeper may look like spending just more quality time with the Lord. Deeper may look like stepping out in worship in a new, fresh way. deeper may look like attending that Bible study that the Lord's been nudging you to attend. It may look like starting a Bible study that the Lord's been asking you to start. It may look like waking up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning and joining a bunch of men for prayer. And I would suggest that that's non-negotiable if you're a male in this house, that you should get up and be there. But that's Bobby talking. You take that up with the Lord, and then he's going to tell you to be there. Deeper may look like loving your spouse well. Deeper may look like being the father or the mother that Scripture tells you you need to be. He's speaking to everyone around here right now. So whatever Holy Spirit's revealing to you guys, it may look like finding community. It may look like finding community. I want you to sit on that one. Sit on that. And then move on to number two. Ask Holy Spirit what's holding you back from the deep. Ask Holy Spirit what's holding you back from the depth of His fullness and His goodness in your life. Maybe your priorities are out of whack. Maybe it's fear of man. Maybe it's just fear of rejection, which is probably fear of man. Maybe you're afraid to mess up. Maybe you've stepped out in the past and it didn't go how you thought it was going to go. So you have a preconceived idea or preconceived prison that your mind has fallen into. And the Lord wants to deal with those. So ask Him what deeper looks like, and then I want you to ask Him what's holding you back. And He's going to identify if there's sin. If there is, deal with it. If you're isolated, stop being isolated. And He'll give you these answers in number three. How do you get over it? How do you overcome? How do you overcome what's holding you back? Because it's all nice Christianese to stand up here and me tell you to cut loose your anchor. How? And that's going to look like quit drinking from the well of what if. Don't dwell in the land of what if. It's going to look like you just manning up and getting over it. You know, sometimes a little dose hard love is important. Maybe you just need to prioritize better, make some time. Maybe we need to learn how to say no. Maybe we need to learn how to say yes. Maybe we need to stop speaking stupid things over our lives because our words matter, and we need to speak life and good things into our life rather than death and salty things into our life because you're not going to break the cycles if you continually condemn yourself. I'm guilty of that one. I say enough dumb things throughout the course of the day to give my wife something to pray about. But our words matter, and I think that one's really important. So you just need to, as Shane said last week at the end of his message, start proclaiming Scripture truths over your life. Like, read those, believe those, pray those. Pray, Lord, I want to teach me how to trust fully in your own understanding. Teach me not to lean on what Bobby's human reasoning understands. Because human wisdom, I will tell you this, and I'm going to be bold enough to tell you this, that human understanding is where fear of man lies. Like fear of man puts on human wisdom all the time as a coat and presents itself as things that just make sense. Like, I can't do this because. And if there's a because, then I'm suggesting that the fear of man is at the root of that. So today, we are going to be done with dead anchor Christianity. And we're going to cut loose from the shallows. We want to commit ourselves to the deep. We want to commit ourselves to the fullness of His presence, to the fullness of His goodness. And part of what Holy Spirit was speaking to me at that breakfast is if we are allowing ourselves to be anchored, and I'm going to talk this to Aubrey too. She probably has her ears and she can hear me. And if you're going to allow yourself to just venture in so far, as I've done so many times, and you're going to allow yourself to go this far, and that's it, then eventually, as the Israelites experienced in the desert and the wilderness, eventually that pillar of fire is going to go a different direction. And if you are anchored in the shallow, that river is going to turn course. That river is going to turn course, and you're not going to go with it, and you're going to be cut off from the flow. I said it early on in the message that the people that are ankle-deep Christians, people that are wading into a point, people that are wading into knee-deep and waist-deep, still maintain some form of control. And if we're going to maintain some form of that control, then James 1:8 comes to mind, where a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You cannot be dependent upon the river. You cannot be dependent upon the river and maintain sure footing on your own. If you're maintaining sure footing because, well, Bobby's afraid, and then I'm going to suggest that that's mean. We go to a point. Eventually, the Lord's not going to be at that point. And then we're going to be that individual that presents himself to the Lord, saying, Lord, Lord, look at my life. And he's going to say, get away from me. I didn't even know you. That's hard. That's terrifying. So you cannot receive the fullness of the Lord's blessing while you're consciously incorporating an anchor in your life. So today, you guys can all stand. And the prayer team, if you guys want to come, you can come. So today's the day we cut the anchors. Today's the day that we free ourselves from dead anchor Christianity. I do want to say that don't be afraid of the deep. Scripture says the deep cries to deep. I want you to examine who you're around. Examine who you've hitched yourself to. I'll say that again. Examine who you have hitched yourself to. What you've hit yourself to. In the deep, you lack nothing. In the deep, you have fullness of power and authority. In the deep, you have the hidden mysteries of His wisdom and knowledge. In the deep, we're able to be lifted up and seated with Him in heavenly places, and we can discern perspectives that He's reserved only for us to see. Anything less than the life you surrendered to the deep falls short of the price that Jesus has paid for your life. That's hard. So if you're in here today, and much like myself, you've allowed yourself to venture to a point, and you go so far, but you're really just worried about stepping out because of what it might look like, or fear, or maybe you might let somebody down, or maybe you might disappoint somebody, or if the Lord's asking you to do something and you think, maybe I'm not so qualified for that, I want you to check within yourself and ask Holy Spirit to forgive you for grieving Him, because you are better than what your mind is telling you that you are. You are better than what your mind is telling you that you are. You carry Jesus inside of you. Like you have all of the ingredients for perfection living inside of you. all of the ingredients. Our responsibility is just not to anchor ourselves in the deep and allow those ingredients to grow stale. So you're ready to cut loose the anchor of fear and move forward in your faith? Are you ready to let go of the past and step into the new life that God is offering you? Are you ready to give your life fully to Jesus and experience the power of His resurrection in your life? And four, are you ready to be poured out so that the fresh river can again begin flowing in and through your life? And if Holy Spirit's pricking your heart for any of those, our ministry team wants to pray with you. We want to partner with you. We want to see you grow. Abundant Life is not a church where we really just encourage you to come and sit in a chair and then go home and then have your life be a train wreck Monday through Saturday, just waiting to get back to church again to be filled back up again. We want to do life with you. We want to come alongside you. We are a family. We want community with you. And I'm telling you that the only way to break cycles, the only way to get out of the rut, and the only way to get over the sin in your life is by the brothers and sisters that are around you, holding you accountable. Jesus forgives you of everything you've done. Jesus has forgiven you for everything you've done, but you will be subject to just falling back into that stupid rut all over again if you just keep going back to the same well. If you keep going back and drinking from the same source, if you keep going back to the same people group that is dragging you down that road of death, then you will go back to death. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when at that point. Maybe you're here and you don't know anything that I'm talking about. You don't know who Jesus is. You just say, Bobby, you don't understand my sin. You don't understand how far I've gone. I really need to clean up my act before. And in the words of President Trump, wrong. You need to experience this river. You need to do more than just stand on the shores and watch the river of the Lord flow past you. This river, you need to be swept up in this river. You need to experience this river, because in the river, as we've already said, there is freedom. In the river, there is restoration. In the river, you are redeemed. Jesus took on all of your sin in the middle of it and counted it all joy to go to the cross. So if that's you and you don't know who Jesus is in here today, I want you to come forward and we'll pray with you. You can find somebody at your seat and just pull them along and ask them to pray with you. There are plenty of folks in here that will do that. Or you can sit there and just have a conversation with the Lord and just tell Him, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I'm ready to cut loose from what has held me stuck in the shallows. And I'm ready to venture into the deep of what you've called me to. I'm ready to surrender my life to you, Jesus. Just pray right now that the people that are having those conversations right now, the Spirit of the Lord is resting on you, and you can feel that right now. You can feel the weightiness of His glory. You can just feel the weightiness of His love. Just invite Him in. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to come in and just say, Lord, come and be the Lord of my life. We need you, Jesus. I just pray right now that you just seal this word in, Lord. We just pray that you take this and accomplish what you need to accomplish. That this word would go and do what it needs to do, Lord. We want to be a body that is not intimidated by saying yes. We want to be a body that is not intimidated by the depths of your presence, Lord. We want to be a body that is not intimidated with intimacy. We're not intimidated by what intimacy requires. We just love you, Lord, and we seal this in Jesus' name.